The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
A little mini Christmas series and talk about the Christmas story. It's an old story, but it's like some things there. It's an old story, but it's a new story because it's new every year when you get to it and you think about it and you reflect on it. And it's great that we take the time out as Christians and as a society to recognize the most wonderful time of the year. The scripture said, you will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Boy, that is an understatement of the eons of time. And today's message is, there we go, the most wonderful time of the year. It is a wonderful time of the year. And I know that Christmas is has its controversies. Not that we make it controversial, but others seem to do that. But Christmas was prophesied a long time ago to be a wonderful time of the year. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Oh, what powerful words penned by the prophet Isaiah under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And preserved through time by the hand of God, that we could have it today. And we could read it and be reminded. You know, we hear a lot of statements about Christmas, and there is side that says, you know, Christmas violates the separation of church and state, so we can't have Christmas trees anymore. We can have holiday trees. And, you know, we can't have a manger scene set up, you know, because that would be an interference. Well, that's a bunch of baloney, and as long as there are Christians on the earth, we're going to have Christmas trees, and we're going to have manger scenes, and we're going to be singing these old songs and some new songs. And by the way, that song we sang this morning, Mary, Did You Know, I think it's interesting that amid the old songs that we sing, such as Joy to the World and Silent Night, that God in his divine inspiration gave us a new song. Not too many years ago, I guess that song's about 10 years old now, and how much we enjoy it, because the story is still fresh. And did Mary know, y'all might remember I preached a sermon several years ago where I said that the only one who really knew was Mary. She's the only one who really knew. Joseph believed, but Mary knew. She knew that she had not been with a man, and yet she was pregnant. And so we all believe by faith. Mary knew, she knew that. I don't know all that she knew, but she certainly knew that. So, you know, it did say that, you know, Christmas is just for children. I think it is for children. I think children should have a joyful time and the mystique of it all and all the wonderful things that we do for kids to make it a joyful time. Heavens knows that our children need to hear some new things and some holy things and some fresh things amid all the stuff that the world pours into their little hearts and minds throughout the year. And it is a time that we celebrate this Christ child who was born. And, you know, the truth of it all is we should celebrate Christmas. I've heard some say, and there's some sects that say, well, we shouldn't celebrate that. It's, you know, it's not a good thing to celebrate. So far as I can tell, one of the things that we as a species of Homo sapiens do is we remember birthdays. You know, some of us don't remember as many as we should, but we remember our own at least, and it's always good. I mean, we have great traditions. I have in my possession, which I didn't even know existed until my mother and dad passed away, and I was going through their possessions, and I found in a little box, I think it's 5 or 6 birthday cards from when I was 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And maybe 6. I can't remember the 6 or not.
Those are old.
They are actually going to be put in a museum in my honor that they exist. So we do it. I mean, we love their birthday cakes and ice cream and celebrate birthdays. And I think it's only appropriate that we would celebrate the birth of Jesus. You know, if there wouldn't have been a birth of Jesus, there wouldn't have been a death of Jesus. If there wouldn't be a death of Jesus, you'd still be in your sins. It'd still be in a whole lot of trouble, as they say. So, yes, we should celebrate Christmas. Should we protest some of the things that are said about Christmas? Yeah, we should protest. I mean, we ought to be speaking out. I was in a store the other day at Best Buy and picked up an item while I was there. And as I was leaving, the clerk said to me, "Happy Holidays." I said, "Thank you very much, but I'd much rather have a Merry Christmas than a Happy Holidays." She just looked at me like I was some kind of Stone Age man or something. I don't know. Well, you know, if we let it go, it'll be gone forever. So, you know, just speak up and not be banning Christians, but be proclaiming Christmas. And remember that on Christmas, at the Christmas time, all the C&E folks show up. That's the Christmas and Easter people who go to church once a year, all right? They show up. I mean, they have this, I guess, this thing of if I go at least once a year, I'll be right with God. And a lot of people have gone to church at Christmas time. We got saved and been changed, my mother being one of them. So Christmas is a good time. So I want to talk about why we should celebrate this most wonderful time of the year. And Christmas celebrates that God keeps his word. Let's look back at Isaiah, another thing that he said, 7:14. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. In the garden, back to days of Adam and Eve, before the first Jingle Bell song was sang, before the first Frosty the Snowman, before Silent Night and all the wonderful songs, before all of that, God said that the seed of a woman would crush the deceiver. He said it was proclaimed that far back that something good was happening. You know, we love an expectation of things, and Christmas carries that expectation of things. But, you know, the first Christmas had an expectation that goes far beyond anything we can think or really understand. We were all expecting the election to be over. Win, lose, or draw. Let's just get it over with. I mean, we had enough commercials, heard enough stories, enough debates, you know. Let's just, you know, get it over with. We had an expectation of that. And we look forward to things. Our country is about 240 years old, you know, plus or minus a couple of years. I'm not doing the math here in my head this morning. But that's a pretty long time. Is anyone here remember anybody who was born on July 4th, 1776? If you raise your hand a little bit too quick there, Robert. July 4th, 1776. Anybody remember that? You don't know who was born on July 4th, 1776? America was born, but that's it. You know, no, but nobody that we know of. All right, I'm sure somebody, babies were born somewhere. There's a, you know, that's a long time ago. You know, that's older than even Miss Liz. She's not here. You know, even older than Liz. I would say older than your mother, but your mother's eternally young now, so we don't have to use her as an example of age anymore. But the prophets had spoken and said many, many things about the coming hope. The theologians called what the interbiblical period between the last prophet in the Old Testament and in the first steps of John the Baptist were about 400 years. And during that period of time, so far as we know, it's not recorded anywhere, there were no words from God. That's a long time. I mean, 240 years is for us as a country seems like forever, but go back 400 years, and how would you like to go to church on Sunday and be no preaching and no Bible teaching and no songs of Zion, and somebody would stand up and say, "It's coming one day." And for 400 years, all you heard was, "It's coming one day," and it never showed up. And that's exactly the situation. They had been told through the prophets that something was coming, but for 400 years there wasn't a word from God. You know how long our attention span is? You know? And those folks have waited a long time. A lot of people lived, a lot of people died during that period of time. And then suddenly, the scripture says, suddenly, there was a host of heaven that showed up. Suddenly, the angel showed up. Suddenly, God began to speak, just chattering away as if he had found out how to speak. And he's telling us all these wonderful things. And the things that had been prophesied for so many years had begun to unfold. Isaiah said that a child would be born, and he would be a king, but he'd be different than any other kind of king. He'd be a king. He'd be a wonderful king. He'd be a great king. Let me go back and read that for you again. It says the government would be on his shoulders. I know a lot of you are really thrilled that Donald Trump got elected. There are just as many of you who are really disappointed that he didn't get elected. But nobody's going to elect this King of Kings, and the government will be on his shoulder. That's where we're looking for hope, is in God and what God is able to do. Said he'd be called a wonderful counselor. We certainly need counsel in this life that we live. He would be a mighty God. He would be an everlasting father, and he'd be the Prince of Peace. That's who was prophesied would come. That's what Isaiah was speaking about. Micah, the prophet, one of the little prophets of the Bible, said that he'd be born in Bethlehem. Can you imagine? You know, Joe Namath gained notoriety. Those of you who all remember Joe Namath. What was Joe Namath so famous for? Remember what he did that was so famous? He what? He advertised pantyhose. No, he wasn't. No, I had forgotten about that. Something greater. What did he say? He said something that astounded the football world. Yeah, but what did he say that would, come on, there, you got it, football man back there. He said, we'll win. The AFL hadn't won anything when compared to the NFL. That was back before they had been merged together. And Joe Namath said, we'll win. Well, I'll tell you what, in football circles, it's still well remembered because he sure enough won. You know, just saying such a thing. What are the probabilities of a prophet, 1,000 years before Christ, saying that this child would be born in Bethlehem? And sure enough, Jesus wasn't even from Bethlehem. His family was living in Nazareth. They were living in it wasn't like he had buses and trains and planes to get around. I mean, you were walking or riding on the back of a beast of burden to get wherever you wanted to go. And they ended up, Mary and Joseph ended up in Bethlehem. Figure the probabilities of that. It's just not probable that it would happen. But sure enough, it was prophesied. The Word of God said he would be born there. And we celebrate today. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. We may not know many cities in the Holy Land, but we all know about Bethlehem. Why? Because Jesus was prophesied to be born there, and he was born there. It was prophesied that a virgin would have a child. You know, just to give you a little language background on that. In the Hebrew language, there are two words that can be used to describe an unmarried woman, all right? And one of them is a maiden. It's just a maiden, just a young girl. But there's another that describes a virgin, never been with a man. And that's the word that was used to prophesy what would happen. Now, think about this. An angel shows up and says, Mary, you found favor with God. About that time, I'd be running out the door because I don't want to see no giant angel showing up. My name is Gabriel. And he says, you found favor with God, and you will conceive a son. And Mary said what every woman on the planet would have said. Excuse me? I'm not married. And, in this day and time, we don't mess around like they do back in the year 2016 that'd be coming up. There ain't no way, Mr. Angel, that I'm going to have a baby. And he said, that which will be conceived to you will be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And she said, be it done to me according to your will. And she submitted to it, and she believed. And she received that little child. It's beyond any explanation. Now, today, we use Petri dishes and in vitro fertilization and a lot of things to help women get pregnant that are having difficulty. But so far, and I think this is going to be, let me make a statement of fact before I somebody proves me wrong. So far as I understand, they still got to use boy and girl parts to get it all done. You know, it ain't happening. You all remember the silly joke that was around a while back about the devil and Jesus having this argument about creating a baby, creating a child. And the devil said, well, I can do it. And he reached down and got some dirt and started. Jesus said, whoa, wait a minute, get your own dirt. You know, you can get your own dirt. Well, so far we're still using the same parts that we used forever to conceive a child. And in this case, that child was conceived miraculously in the womb by God himself. There were over 300 prophecies that were made in the Old Testament describing this Jesus who was born. Joe Namath is remembered for one. They thought that was amazing that he could do that. If you could prophesy, let's go back just a short 3 weeks ago. What if you could prophesy and said, God has told me that the stock market is going to go over 19,000 points. People say, are you crazy? That ain't happening. You don't realize how bad things are? And then what they call it now in the stock market, the Trump effect is taking place, and it's almost 20,000 now. There would be people standing up to hear what you had to say. You'd be considered a prophet of all time. You could predict the stock market. That's just one thing. But try tacking up maybe what the stock market was going to do, what the economy is going to do, what Japan's going to do, what China's going to do. And you listed out 300 things that were going to happen, and they all happened. You know what they call you? God. And that's exactly what it took for all these things to happen. It's for God to use ordinary men and women to write down and proclaim what it was that was going to happen with this little child. And not all of them have come to pass yet. Some of them still have to come. But a whole flock, way more than 50% of them, has taken place already. And God said, you know, in the book of Genesis, the book starts off with saying, and God said. And what God said settles the whole thing. You know, when he says it, whether you believe it or don't believe it, doesn't make a hill of beans. The fact that God said it and it would happen, and in the midst of 400 years of hope, and God said, happen. You know, another thing in contemporary times, and God said that in the end times that Israel would, you know, be a part of the equation. You realize that Israel disappeared in the year 70 AD? Disappeared. There was no Israel. There was no nation of Israel. There were Jews, but there wasn't any nation of Israel. In 1946, Israel reappeared on the scene. God said Israel would be around at the end times. Is this the end times? Well, it couldn't be the end times until Israel took its place. But now that Israel's got its place, it can be the end time. So, no, I'm just trying to build a case for you that, and God said, Christmas broadcasts that God keeps his word. You can trust him. You can't trust politicians. You can't trust your wife or your husband. Totally. They'll lie to you. Well, honey, you know, the reason I bought this new toy was because we had to have it. You know, that's a lie. You didn't have to have it, but you wanted it, so you figured out a way to get whatever that new toy was. I'm looking at Mike back there. Talk to Neeson to let him get a new gun and all that. But she agreed to it, though. I got to say, in her defense, she agreed to it, all right? But God never lies. What he says is true, and you can bank eternity on it. I tell people all the time when they talk about salvation and going to heaven, I said, the only hope I got is that what God said is true. And Jesus said, I am the truth. And I'm counting on that. If I don't make it to heaven, you won't be there either. Because the only way I'm getting there is through the mercy of God. It's the only way you're getting there. It's through the mercy of God. Because God said it. It said that Emmanuel would come, and Emmanuel came. And to this day, we're still calling him Emmanuel. We're singing songs about him. We're singing songs about the name of Jesus. We still proclaim what took place over 2,000 years ago. Every tree Every Christmas tree, every light on the tree, every song declares this, that Jesus Christ is alive and that he was born. Got a little manger scene here. It's got a little baby Jesus in there. There are literally millions of these things around the world. Little baby Jesus, remembering that child who was born that day. Why do we still remember? Because the world has never been the same since he came. Never been the same. In fact, even we call it A.D. and B.C., you know, before Christ, and A.D. is the Latin word meaning after Christ, you know, we're still proclaiming. Now, I realize the revisionists of history are changing that. They call it before the Common Era and after the Common Era. You can sugarcoat it. You can cover it up. You can call it whatever you want to call it. But it's still, we divide history from the time that Jesus was born. He is the pinnacle, the watershed that everything flows from. Backwards to the old covenant, forward into the new covenant. Change the world. Change the way we think. Change our calendars. The Jews are still hanging on to the old calendar, but it's a dying art. It's the new way that we count time and the way we think. You've signed a contract. You see contracts today. It'll have one there on the date in the year of our Lord. The year of our Lord. They still do that. I haven't signed a contract in a while. Maybe they've changed it. But the last contracts I saw all say that. In the year of our Lord. In the year of our Lord. This is the year of the Lord. It's the way we speak. It's the way we think. It's who we are. It's in the world. That little baby changed it all. It's a sign. You're looking for a sign? You're looking for a healing. You're looking for the sun to stay in its orbit or the moon to turn green or any other such thing. You're looking for a sign. You want a sign that God is who he said he was? Just look in the manger. Do you know how many people have decided that, who are atheists, who decided to go through this book and prove that it's wrong? Do you know how many of them try to do that? And you know what happens to them? They get in the book, they try to prove it, they end up getting saved. C.S. Lewis being one of the most famous ones. That's what happened. You get in this book, it'll change you. Because it is the Word of God. It is the story. It's not a history book. It's a story book of the salvation of God found in a baby in a manger. That's what it's all about, from Genesis to Revelation. That's all it's about. And it's a spiritual book. The people who read it get changed. I got changed because of what happened in this book. I didn't get saved because somebody gave me a new idea. I didn't get saved because I got another degree. I didn't get saved because I'm so smart or so dumb. I got saved because the Word of God, when I heard it and I believed it, it changed me. It's what God has said. And that's the only hope this world has. People are wondering about what, you know, and I don't mean this to be a negative thing about, you know, what is Donald Trump going to do to change the economy? What is Donald Trump going to do this? The stock market's going up. You know, carriers not leaving. I mean, that's all wonderful stuff. I'm on the train. I love it. I think it's great. But it won't save one soul. It won't give one person eternal life. People are still being born. People are going to die. People are going to be rich. People are going to be poor. Life is going to go on. But the only thing that will change eternity is Jesus Christ and those who believe in him will change the direction of their lives for all eternity. That's the promise of God. Woo! Hallelujah. That'll make the chipmunks shout. Second thing is Christmas celebrates that Christmas is forever. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. My old daddy came to the Lord when he was 65 years old. And one day, I mean, you had to know my little short Italian daddy. I mean, he was not an emotional, touchy-feely kind of person. And Pat and I were in a restaurant with him. It used to be Roy Rogers. Remember Roy Rogers, whose restaurant was on Gulf Boulevard? Some of you don't remember that. I did not remember Roy Rogers. I remember Roy was here. I saw Roy. I got to see him eyeball to eyeball. Roy was here opening the restaurant. Roy's gone and the restaurant's gone too, but that's another story. But we went in there and my dad started crying. And the food wasn't that bad, you know, so but my dad's crying. And I just looked at him and I said, Dad, what's the matter? He said, Morris, if you didn't get anything else with Jesus but peace, it'd be worth it all. Just to have a peace in your heart. Settle you down. This life is tough. Got a lot of bad things in it happen to people. I mean, Gail just told me that they just lost five family members in the last 6 months. You know, I mean, that's a heavy burden. Some of you got parents are getting old. You're worried about them. You just lost your mother. You know, all these things just comes along in life. You know, Bob's been having a bout with sickness. They're trying to find out what's wrong with it. Well, they've been looking in the wrong place. They're looking in his head. There's nothing up there. Up there's going to do any good. You know, but they're trying to find out what's wrong with him. I know what's wrong with him. It's nothing. He's a born-again, tongue-talking child of God is what he is. Well, you know, this looking for something. Remember that song they had many years ago? It said, looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for peace in all the wrong places. You, in this world, we have tribulation. But we can find peace in Christ alone. He'll give you a sense of well-being, a sense that tomorrow will be a brighter day. You can go to the Word of God. It says that the compassions of the Lord never fail, that they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You can be sure that the Word of God will still be here. The Word of God is for you to give you a sense of well-being. It's the only place you can find it. So it says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I love that last sentence. The zeal of the Lord Almighty. You know, sometimes we get zeal about things. We get excited about things. You know, who's going to win the Super Bowl? Who's going to win the race? Who's going to do this? You know, who's going to be the next president? All these things we have a zeal about is nothing, and it pales in comparison to the zeal of the Lord. God was excited. He had a sense of excitement, sense of expectation. Couldn't wait to get the whole thing going. And it says that the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish all of this. See, in the natural it can't be done, but in the supernatural it can be done. Since the day of the birth of Jesus, there have been attempts to destroy this Christ child. Since he was, before he was born, there were attempts to destroy this Christ child. We all know the story of Herod when the wise men showed up. Can you just imagine for a moment when the wise men went and they saw Jesus and they left, and Herod found out that he had been tricked because they said they went another direction. They didn't go back to see Herod because he told them, come tell me where he is. He said, I want to go worship him, you know, which is lying. And when he found it out, he put out an edict and he said, go into Bethlehem and kill every male child under the age of 2. Oh my gosh, you know how much we love babies? You know how much a mother loves a baby? Can you imagine some authority from Herod coming and grabbing your little boy and killing him? Oh my God. Scripture said there was a wailing that came up. A wailing that came up. Man, think how many men wanted to protect their baby, protect their wives in that situation. Overwhelmed, unarmed, couldn't do it. That's what the world wants to do. That's what Herod wanted to do. But he didn't know that God had another plan. He came to Joseph in a dream and said, Joe, get Mary, get the baby, get out of Dodge. Where are we going? Go to Egypt. Oh, I don't know about Egypt. Go to Egypt. You'll be safe there. And he went there. We all know the story behind that. But those babies died. There's been an attempt to kill babies ever since then. And we're probably the generation that has done more to kill babies than any other who's ever lived on the planet. By the tens of millions of killing babies in the womb. We, the church, need to keep Christ in Christmas, and we need to keep telling the story. We need to keep telling the story. And don't let the story get killed and murdered and die. Don't let people take it away. Every time you hear jingle bells, start looking for Angel's Choir. There was I've told the story before, but it's one of the ones I love. When I was in seminary, we had the pastor of First Baptist Church in Houston, came over, And he was a big rising star at the time, and everybody knew him in church circles. And he came and he told a story about when they called him to be the pastor of First Baptist Church in Houston. And that church happens to be in the downtown area. And he said that it was Christmas time when they called him. And he wanted to go in unannounced where nobody knew who he was and just kind of get a feel for what the church was like. And he went on a Wednesday night service right before Christmas. He said he went to church. He said, and there were a handful of people there, and said they were singing. And the way he put it this way, he said they were singing, "Rock of Ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee." He said it was boring. He said he walked out of the church and went next door to, if you're from Texas, you know about Joskies. Joskies was the big department store. He said, I walked in there. He said there were lights and tinsels and Christmas trees and jingle bells and everybody was excited. Merry Christmas. He said if the church had get an invitation to join it and Joskies had given an invitation to join them, he said, I'd have joined Joskies. You know, that's how bad it was. But we ought to take all those things and incorporate them and enjoy the moment. Now, you know, people get criticized, you know, well, you can't have a tree in your church because it's a pagan thing. Man, I don't care where it came from. I'm telling you, there's no pagan tree in here. We're not worshiping that tree. We're rejoicing the God who created the tree. All right, in our case, gave the manufacturing know-how to know how to make it. Since it's not a real one in the traditional sense of the way. But take advantage of these things. You know, use the Christmas music to build up your faith. Tinsels and light. When you see the lights, look for the glory of God. They got this new light thing out. You've probably seen it this year. If you got one, I'm not picking on you. Just my wife is picking on you. It's the new thing. They put these little critters that go all over your house, and they're red and green and blue, and you know, it's a light that spins around, and it's a laser thing. Pat said it looks like insects crawling over the houses. That's what she said. Because I wanted to get one, but she didn't want to have one, you know. But when you see the lights, you know, be excited about it. And think about the light of the world that gave us light. Use every opportunity you can to encourage yourself during the Christmas season. When you see presents, remember the gift of God. God is the greatest gift giver of all. He gave his only begotten Son. And if whoever would believe in him would never perish. That is the greatest gift of all. You know, be excited about the gifts. When you see profiteers making money off of Christmas and off of your money, just remember the prophets who spoke about Jesus, all right? Give yourself encouragement. Don't look for the negative. Look for the positive. And when you hear Santa Claus is coming to town, remind yourself that Jesus already came, all right? You know, And listen, folks, I'm probably a heretic for saying what I'm about to say. But, you know, it doesn't bother me that Santa Claus is around and the kids get a kick out of it. I don't have a problem with a jolly man in a red suit. And so long as we're talking about Christmas. And we don't let our kids get wrapped up in that and think that that's the reason. The reason is that Jesus came, and we use that and remember it. It's a time of gift giving. So, you know, it's a good thing. So don't get, you know, all tied up about that. I don't mean to step on your spiritual toes, but don't make a mountain out of a molehill. It doesn't need to be made, all right? I understand the theology behind it, but I'm telling you, it's just not, just use it for a good thing, and don't let it be a negative thing. You know, the little Christmas story. It was the night before Christmas and all through the house. You know, you know that song. If you get a chance, get the Cajun Christmas story and read it. If you want to, it's Gaston Gravois, and instead of reindeers, it's got alligators. And I mean, it is the funniest thing you've ever heard. It'll make you laugh. This is a time of great joy. And if a Cajun story make you laugh, just go ahead and enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moment. When you hear Santa Claus is coming to town, Jesus already came. Because he was born, you can be born again. That's the story. That's the truth. That's what this is all about. It's more than just a tinsel, but it is a time of great joy. When our founding fathers established this great nation, one of the things that they said, John Adams said this, he was not the only one, but he said, on the 4th of July, let there be great celebration about the birth of this fledgling nation. Let there be fireworks. Let there be bands. Let there be joy on the 4th of July. That's what he said. Well, how much more we ought to be rejoicing and having joy because the Savior was born. Remember it. And enjoy the moment. Enjoy. Don't let the enemy rob you. Don't let the world rob you of the joy of this time. It is for us that this child was given. And you know what? You know what? During Christmas, people find Christ. They do. They do. You know, out of some maybe sense of guilt or some sense of maybe their kids invited them or their grandkids or somebody invited them and, you know, they went to church and they never go to church. Maybe some grandkid gets brought to church that their parents won't take him. And somebody takes them and they hear the old story of Jesus born in a manger, the Savior of the world. And the Holy Spirit takes that and quickens it to their heart. And they say, yes, I believe. And they get gloriously saved. So it's a time of salvation. The baby Jesus is still saving souls when they hear this old story. Life came into the world. And I'm telling you something. The world can't end it. Can't end it. The story is here and it won't go away. People have tried. They've tried to extinguish it. They tried to remove it from history. They've tried and tried and tried. And they're unable to do it because it is the work of God and the zeal of God and the heart of God to make sure that what God said would last forever and ever. Hallelujah. The last thing is, wise men still seek him. Matthew chapter 2, 10-11. Let me, before I read the scripture, back up for just a minute. You know who these guys were, huh? These were not Jews. They were heathens from the other side of the world. They were made part of the diaspora, part of the Jews that had been driven out of Israel. In some kind of way, they found out about, it's just like you always have these people are seeking for greater truth. In some kind of way, they found out and they read these prophecies. And this star shows up in the eastern sky, and they see it, and through divine revelation, they knew something special was happening, and they followed that star. Now remember, I don't want to break your little hearts, but this didn't happen on Christmas Day, okay? This is a couple of years later, because Jesus was just a baby boy. You know, but it wasn't, you know, right away. That's why Herod killed anybody 2 years younger, the boys, 2 years and younger, okay? Because it was a couple of years that it transpired. They follow in this star. You know, I love explorers that go off, you know, people that go around the world and discover things. That, you know, Captain Cook who went across the seas. And the wife said, Cook, where are you going? I'm going on a little trip. I'll be back soon. When? Oh, about 7 years. You know, I mean, that's what he did, literally, all right? Just went around and discovered all the things in the Pacific and so forth. So these guys, their wife said, where are you going, wise guy? Oh, I'm going to see some babe. You're going to see a what? No, not a babe, a baby. You know, somebody, I read in this book, this old ancient book that we found around here, and I'm following this, and this is where I'm going. And they showed up under the divine leadership of God. See, God will lead you in the direction that he wants you to go. And they showed up. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. If you haven't seen that little video, the Star of Bethlehem, you need to get that. It's available. You can get it online. It's a great video. We used to have some around here. I don't think we have any more. I think we sold them all. It's a really good video to watch during Christmas time. You really enjoy it. But when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, and notice it wasn't the manger, it wasn't the area in Bethlehem. Coming to the house, They saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Wow. They sought him and they found him. Anybody's looking for God? You'll find him if you want him. Sometimes even when you're not looking, God will show up. Even when you don't have that thought in your mind, that's what happened to me. I wasn't looking for God. I was looking for help. And I found out the help I needed was God. Changed my life. They sought him and they found him, the wise men of the town, of the time. Wise men still seeking, looking for God. You know, it may not be exactly where you think he is. You know, when in the Old Testament, the story about trying to hear God, he's not in the whirlwind. He's not in the big, Big Bang theory. He's not in all those things. If you want to know about him, just look at a baby. Just look at the babe Christ who was born. And what do? They worshiped him. Worshiped him. They knew something special was going on. These are not some dum-dums. These were well-recognized men of wisdom. We don't know how many of them actually went. They gave three gifts. However many were there, I don't know. It might have been two. Might have been three. It might have been a dozen. I have no idea. But they went there, and when they saw that child, they worshiped him. Let me tell you something. When you see God, you worship him. When you see the real God, you worship him. You'll fall on your knees, like that one of the Christmas songs says, fall on your knees. When you see the real God, you'll worship him. And they worshiped him because they knew. Let everything around Christmas bring you to a time of worship. Let your heart worship. We sang these songs this morning, worshiping the Lord. I think that song, Mary, Did You Know, is a beautiful worship Christmas song. I like the one where it says, long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the world felt its a thrill of joy, a thrill of joy that showed up at a place called Bethlehem. Well, Bethlehem can be in Slidell. It can be in the other side of the planet. It can be everywhere when you hear the story. See, that's why it's important that we tell this story. That's why we're going to read it on Christmas Day when we're here. We're going to read the Christmas story. I hope with your family you'll have an opportunity to read the Christmas story. Break out your Bibles and read it. Let the kids hear it. The kids love stories. Let them hear the story of Jesus Christ, born in a manger. They love the story. They gave gifts of value, gold, frankincense, myrrh. Frankincense and myrrh were valuable commodities at the time. You know, one of the reasons that this is my opinion. The description don't say this. It's just my opinion. But I thought about that. Why did he give all of this to Joseph and Mary? You know why? Because they were going on a long trek. An angel was about to show up and say, Joseph, get out of here. And Joseph could have said, man, I barely got here. I don't have anything. And he had all the gold and sellable commodities that he needed. I know there's spiritual implications to all the things that he gave. But just in the natural, he had the funds necessary to support his wife and his son on a long trip into Egypt in the time that he stayed there until it was safe for him to come back. See, God's practical. God's spiritual. He's also practical. I think the idea of giving gifts at Christmas is a good idea. Certainly, we like gifts. If you get old enough like me, you can buy your own gifts. So you make sure you get exactly what you want. I got my own gift this year. I was with my daughter, and I said, have you bought my Christmas present yet? She said, no. I said, let me tell you what I want. And she said, well, you get it, and I'll pay for it. I ordered it online, and it was waiting for me when I got back here in town. I got my gift. I want to make sure I got exactly what I want. You know, you don't have to do it that way. It's just that I'm getting old, and most of the stuff that I want I already got, so I want to make sure that I keep getting the stuff I want. I don't want to, a tie that I don't need. but let the gift part of the season be a time of worship. The joy of giving. Those wise men gladly gave. Gladly give. Give to each other. Give to your family. Give to your kids. Give to the poor. Give to wherever you need to give. And make it a part of your worship. Thought about Jesus. I want to close with this thought. Thought about Jesus being about the star leading to him. And I thought, I don't know how theologically correct this is, but Jesus is the rock star. He is the rock and the star at the same time, all right? And then followed him and followed that star, and they worshiped him. That's what we're called to do, is to follow him, follow the path that he's laid out for us. Jesus told the rich young ruler, said, give it everything you got. Give it to the poor. And just come follow me. You know, those who follow him have peace, prosperity, hope, a brighter day, able to live in this world, and knowing that when it's all over, there's a place prepared for us beyond imagination. Man that hadn't dreamt it up, hadn't heard about it, hadn't thunk about it. Thunk, that's a theological word, thunk about it. Are the things that God has prepared for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. God loved the world, but it's those who respond to the love that are born again. We respond in faith and say, yes, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe the whole story. I believe in the manger. I believe in the cross. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in your word. I believe you said it. I don't understand it. I don't have to understand it. I just believe it. And when you do, you are born again, not of the corruptible seed of your parents, of the flesh, but of the incorruptible seed of the Spirit, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. So celebrate and enjoy this Christmas season. And God willing, next week, we're going to talk about the most wonderful baby ever born. That'll be next week. So it'll be kind of a part two of this sermon. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. I'm not leaving out just as early as Jim did last week. I thought that was a disgrace. I mean, I'm not here just going to spoil the sheep by letting out as early as he did. So I was watching you, by the way. I wasn't Santa Claus, but I was looking, seeing who was here and who wasn't here. So I know. I took names, all right? I got a list who didn't show up when I wasn't here. Father, we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you for the gift of life, not of just mortal life, but of that eternal life that is found in Bethlehem. Thank you for the babe. Thank you for the promises fulfilled. Thank you that it's eternal and it won't go away. We thank you, Father. We rejoice in it. Father, let this Christmas season be really special. Let us see you everywhere we go, every song we hear, every face we see, every crowded store we go into us. Remind us as we go that it's all taking place because of what took place so very, very long ago when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We thank you, Father. Let your blessings be upon us. And we pray together in the wonderful name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Yes.